Uh-oh, we're talking Baywatch in here. Ladies and gentlemen, we might have our first ever guest. My girlfriend, Erin, has just walked in the door. She's going to give her three-word review of Baywatch. We watched it together last night. Now, listen, guys, we've been bashing on it pretty hard, but she was a huge fan. So we just want to make sure. Erin, do you have a brief thought you'd like to share about Baywatch? Three-word review. Well, you can use more if you want.
Prosthetic penis.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
A stew only counts as one!
Okay, you people sit tight, hold the fort, and keep the home fires burning. If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Groovy. Welcome back to Good For an Action Movie. Tonight, we watched 2017's hit of the summer, Baywatch. I am one of your hosts, Will Thornton.
And I'm Max Steele.
And boy, we could not be more excited to talk about this wonderful little film directed by Seth Gordon, released last year, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Zac Efron, Alexandra Daddario, all the stars you've come to know and love. This movie, obviously, it's got a lot of buzz. It set records at the Oscars and at the Razzies. Max and I were scrolling through a bunch of streaming services trying to find something bad to watch because we kind of felt like we reviewed a slew of pretty good movies, Incredibles, Kong Skull Island, the MCU has a lot of great movies in it, and we really wanted to watch something that is just a heaping pile of garbage. And I don't want to speak for my co-host here, but we did not find it. Max?
Watching this movie was physically upsetting. It's very bad. One thing that I'll say about it is that before we were going to watch this movie, we were going to watch a foreign movie that was called 13 Assassins. And I began to watch it, and I stopped watching it because I think it was a little upsetting because it involved a lot of bodily, fictionalized bodily mutilation, on-screen characters committing suicide, and I was like, I don't really feel like watching that. But this was arguably more difficult to sit through than watching people's limbs be chopped off in a very realistic manner and people commit suicide on screen.
Yep, I was only joking before. This movie is really, really bad. It involves a shockingly confusing plot. This is not a simple movie. I was confused throughout. This movie is classified as action on IMDb. That is part of our criteria. Well, that's really our only criteria of any movie that we'll do. And I'm not entirely sure why. There are a few sort of things vaguely resembling action scenes, but mostly it's just like a comedy that seems like they told a bunch of people who weren't funny to improvise raunchy dialogue. That's what it feels like most of the time. It's real bad. I don't know how we want to tackle this beast.
So my plan for this episode is to make fun of this movie for at least 10 minutes and then talk about anything else.
I'm down. I will do that. I have a couple thoughts. So,
well, I think we should give a vague run through of the plot. As I understand it, there is this lifeguard patrol that is headed by a lieutenant. It is not because he is a former military. It is because that is the actual station in it. It's called being a lieutenant, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And they are an elite task force, but they're not an elite task force because they're not sanctioned by the city, but they think that they are. And so they hold tryouts, which is what you're supposed to do with lifeguards, right? I don't know. It's really dumb. And even going through it in my mind really sucks. And there's a real estate scandal, and then someone gets blown up with a firework. That's kind of like a quick overview of what's going on. There are so many things I can say, but just do not have the energy to do.
Yeah, it crams a lot of cliche movie plot ideas into one movie. Dwayne Johnson plays, like Max said, Lieutenant Mitch something, and he's been there a long time. This is like a bad movie cliche that I kind of love, which is when a character is very famous for just like doing their job well. Like you see it a lot with like cops, like a movie has like a famous cop, like a cop like busts a crime. The headline will be like, Officer Johnson busts another crook. It's like, no one in the real world could possibly ever name one acting duty police officer. Maybe you might know like your police commissioner. But in your community, even the most most successful crime buster, you're never going to know their name. But this movie features a famous lifeguard, which is just one step above. And I can imagine them thinking about adapting Baywatch in 2017. And what it kind of seemed like it was going for was very self-referential. Well, no, not self-referential. Very self-aware of the ridiculous premises that it was based on. And while they do acknowledge it frequently, like, for instance, characters saying, like, you are not cops. Like, you should stop solving these crimes. Those characters just seem imminently more and more reasonable throughout the movie as this team of lifeguards attempts to uncover a criminal conspiracy. But they never do it enough. Like, they never ultimately admit the ridiculous premise, and they take it too seriously, even though the movie is a comedy. And it kind of made me think of, like, the Brady Bunch movie that came out in the 90s. Have you seen that, Max?
I have not, but I've seen parts of it, so I know what you're talking about. Like, the opposite of that, correct?
Yeah, like, I really enjoy that movie. I've, like, never watched much of the Brady Bunch, the 70s TV show at all, but I've seen the 90s Brady Bunch movie, and they clearly knew that a straight-up remake of the Brady Bunch in movie form would not feel right at all in, like, 1995 or whenever that movie was made. So it is very obviously a, like, farcical take on the Brady Bunch. And they could have done that with Baywatch. Like, there's no reason this movie had to be bad. It could be really stupid, but in a smart way. And the director, like, I looked him up. He's directed, like, movies that they're not, like, huge hits, but are, like, well-received comedies, like Identity Thief and Horrible Bosses. So it's pretty shocking. I don't know, like, who wrote the movie or anything like that. But this movie is comically bad. And the plot is, like, labyrinthine and confusing. And the performances are awful. No one in this movie is funny. It's also, I was expecting bad, but like this movie is shockingly misogynistic, even for your expectations being set that you're watching a movie with a bunch of bikini-clad women running on a beach. This movie defies all expectations, features scenes of just straight-up sexual harassment in like bathrooms and stuff. It is a very movie in very poor taste.
I would say about 80% of all jokes in this movie are men staring at boobs, erections just occurring. So we had our first on-screen erection for an action movie, and our first full frontal male nudity of something that we've watched as well, unless I'm missing something from, I don't know, John Wick.
Oh, no, you're actually missing something from Small Soldiers.
How could we forget? But it's just so crude. It's just, and just like you said earlier, it's just like they said, hey, we don't really have a script. We have like this loose outline of a bunch of ridiculous things that these lifeguards can like react to, but we need you just like be really, really like crude and degrade each other for about 2 hours. And that's mostly what it is. And it's not funny at all. There are like two things that I found funny in the movie. One is that there is Mitch, I cannot remember his last name. I think it's the same in Baywatch as well. He has an aquarium that has a little miniature figure of himself in it, and it moves every once in a while and reflects how the character is feeling outside. And that's like really funny, but that is three jokes throughout the entire thing that all last maybe a second. And maybe I can't even remember there being something else. That's it's really dumb. The soundtrack to this movie is also awful. It is like someone went into just a trashy nightclub and had a recorder, and that plays throughout the entire movie, just really hard trap music, and it's very difficult to listen to.
Yeah, oh my God, the soundtrack is so intensely paced. There is a new song playing every 30 seconds in this movie. It is so frantic. And I thought the aquarium joke was probably the best joke in the movie. The only other scene I found remotely funny was not the scene where they're giving the examination in the morgue, but when they just have to climb into those little where they store the bodies in the morgue. If you haven't seen Baywatch, don't watch it. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but I thought that scene was like kind of funny. But that was it. And to be clear, like, you can make a crass, raunchy sex comedy extremely well, and it can be a very good movie. But this movie was, for one thing, not sexy at all. Like, there was nothing in this movie. Like, if you were going to this movie not to laugh, but just to be like, I just want to look at, like, hot people running on the beach, you do not get that in this movie. You get, like, a bunch of, like, boner jokes and the horrible special effects. The CGI in this movie is comically bad. Comically bad. It is so awful. There are scenes where I was pausing it and going, could anyone imagine that face being Dwayne Johnson's face? The modeling is so horrible. I don't know how much longer we just want to bash on this movie. It's very bad. You should not watch it under any circumstance.
Oh, sorry. There is one, like, so here's how I think the movie could work, just kind of like you mentioned before. Just like have a ragtag team of lifeguards that just does ridiculous things for 2 hours. That'd be very cool. But they keep constantly reminding us that they should not be doing what they were doing. And you should probably just have like one character. There are 3 to 4 characters throughout the entire movie are like, this is a job for the police. And that happened. Someone says that at least twice per minute. Everyone's just talking about how it just makes.
Yeah, I once saw a stand-up comedian do a joke about how Hollywood was like demanding that people think Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron are comedians, and this was before they had ever been in a movie together. And then here they are in a movie together, and it is just deeply, deeply unfunny. But should we spend any time actually talking about the action in this movie or the lack thereof?
I do have one comment about the action. There is like some action in it, but one of the things that I noticed, there's a small kind of moment where Zac Efron rides a motorcycle on a boardwalk, and if you pay attention, he's not driving fast at all. If you just kind of look, the camera's just moving very fast back and forth across the boardwalk, and he's not driving that fast. And people are just diving out of the way of this very slow motorcycle, Austin Powers style. And that actually kind of made me laugh, but it's not a part that's intended to be like action or anything like that. And then there's a set piece at the end that's based around a fight with a bunch of fireworks going off. That's probably one of the more entertaining things in the movie, but it's still not great. But to be honest, like, there was a point probably 30 minutes in where I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna wait for the David Hasselhoff cameo, because they tell you it's gonna happen in the credits. He gets the with credit, Pamela Anderson gets the and credit, and so I was just like, well, there, it better be worth it. And it's not. It is a very tiny moment in the movie where Hasselhoff shows up, and it's not built up to at all, and there is no payoff. And then Pamela Anderson's just thrown in at the end.
Yeah, it is as if David Hasselhoff demanded like $10 million more dollars if they wanted him to say a second line. It is so small. And also, it comes right after a straight-up Sprint advertisement in the middle of the movie. Throughout the movie, people are using very clearly branded Samsung phones to like videotape stuff. And at one point, when Dwayne Johnson's character gets kicked off the force because he's a loose cannon, he gets a job at Sprint, and everything's branded. And he literally, you watch him give an entire pitch for why Samsung phones are good before the scene cuts out. And I like to think that, and then David Hasselhoff appears right after as if to tell the audience, hey, look, you wanted the Hoff. The only way we got him was with this Samsung brand deal. So look, people, that's what you got to endure to see this. But I was thinking, I kind of had this thought afterwards, that the model that this movie should have followed and that they could have just gone with is that these lifeguards, they are superheroes. That is literally what they are portrayed as. Like, as Max was saying, characters are constantly pointing out, like, why don't you call the cops? It should just either completely undercut itself and be and turn out to be just sort of like a boring movie where people end up calling the police and it's ironically funny, or they should 100% give in to this notion that these lifeguards are literal community superheroes and just go all out. It does neither. It tries to do – it does both, and then in the course of doing that, it does neither. It's very bad. I'm cool to just make this a pretty short episode.
Yeah, honestly, well, like you said, it's just like you just need like one character to be like, you should just leave this to the police. And when you have three people talking about it the entire movie, it just makes it seem even more ridiculous than it is. Like you have the – like if you just have like the comic relief cop, Ellerby, I think his name was, or something like that. I didn't know who was playing him. Who actually I thought he was fine too. But like if you just have like that one person being like, no, I think this is the job for the police, or yeah, maybe even no people. I don't know. It's not a movie that makes sense. It's a real estate scam. The entire movie is,
which is a very 80s plot line. Like that's not a bad idea really, because the show is old from the 80s. So like there are so many movies where like, it's this evil developer trying to buy up the land. But it's so confusing. It's just so bad.
Well, it's actually like if you don't watch the movie, it's pretty simple. But they make it a lot more complicated than it is. It really boils down to this lady is who's a real estate mogul is selling drugs basically on Bay property, lowering the property value and buying it all up. But they refuse to basically just say that at any point and just rather just I don't know. Touching each other's dicks and stuff like that. So I don't know.
We're getting angrier. My final thought before we can move on to ratings and recs, if Max can say his final thought, just this last observation is that at the end of the movie, you've watched this entire stupid plot unravel with all these dumb characters and bad jokes. And then at the end, the lifeguards literally begin killing the villains. People die in this movie and everyone is just like, it is fine. And the only thing it reminds me of is that great episode of Community where Troy's in the air conditioning repair school. The guy is murdered and Troy's line of, take him to the police. He murdered someone. Like, these characters are literally killing people. Ugh.
Yeah, that is. There is nothing in this movie that surprises me. I'm very against being on a phone during a movie or like doing anything else during a movie. I was constantly just like trying to avoid watching this movie, even though I had to do it for this godforsaken podcast. No, I love this podcast, but it's a very godforsaken movie. Last thing that I thought was good is that the tryouts for this group of lifeguards includes, but is not limited to, let me see, I have them written down. An obstacle course that includes swimming, climbing up a wall, going up a slight incline hill on a sand dune, flipping tires, and carrying refrigerators. Not once is your ability to carry another human who is struggling or CPR tested for these lifeguards. There's also something that I found that was funny that is not definitely not intended to be funny is that there is a city council in this movie that is a big part of the plot that is constantly referred to as the council, which is just really funny as an idea to me. What was the last thing I was gonna say? Oh, the only good part of this movie is, and like this is pretty like this is not intended as the way that it sounds, is that the end credits are actually probably the fun, like the most fun part of the movie, because they have all the like outtakes from out the movie, and these are actually like pretty funny compared to everything else that's in the movie. So if you watch anything, just watch the end credits. That's like actually kind of funny, and you can see them having fun during the movie. And I hope they did have fun for this piece of crap that they made. Oh, gosh, I'm so upset.
I am sure they did have fun. It has a very like kind of Sandler-esque vibe to it, where it's like, why would Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron want to do this? Because they got to just hang out at the beach for a couple months and film a movie and make a couple $1 million doing it. So I do not blame them at all for being in this horrible film. But let's move on to ratings and recs. I will rate this movie. We got a 4 stars. I will give this movie 1 star. I don't think it's egregious enough to rate any lower, but there's certainly nothing redeemable about it at all. You want to do your rating?
Yep, half star. Enough said.
Okay. Well, I can give my recommendation real quick. I'm going to recommend a new movie that is out in theaters right now, or at least hopefully it is, depending on when you listen to this podcast. It is called Leave No Trace. It is directed by Deborah Granick, who directed Winter's Bone, the movie that launched A Thousand Ships and the career of Jennifer Lawrence. In this movie, Ben Foster gives a wonderful performance as a veteran who is dealing with some severe PTSD and is forcing his daughter, along with himself, to sort of live off the grid and exist off of the land. And it's just sort of a portrait of their lives, and it's very sad, and the performances are great. His daughter is played by Thomasin McKenzie. This is like one of her first roles, I think. You know, sort of there's a lot of parallels being drawn to J. Law's first performance in Winter's Bone. It's a great movie. I expect it to be up for a lot of like Oscar stuff, and it's in theaters right now, so you can catch it out there. Go support it. It's a really good film made by a very talented director, and I was happy to really enjoy it.
Did you want to give Baywatch an action movie rating as well?
Okay, yeah, sure. Surprisingly, I am going to give it, if you are looking for action, I'm going to give it 0 out of 6 abs, despite the fact that there are a lot of abs in this movie.
I would give it maybe 1 out of 10. I didn't have anything creative for this one, but for the movie 13 Assassins that we were going to originally watch, one of the lines of dialogues in it is that they're entertaining a guest, and someone says, "I will bring you the picture scrolls for entertainment." So I give this movie 1 out of 10 picture scrolls for entertainment. Oh, and then my recommendations. I have a lot of I usually between these episodes I don't get to see a lot of stuff, but I actually did a lot of stuff this time, so I'm really excited. So I saw Dunkirk for the first time, which I would like to recommend. I saw it as God intended it to be seen on my girlfriend's father's DVR. And I really liked it a lot. I really liked, and I'm sure people have seen it by now, I liked the three different plot lines taking course of different periods of time. That's just such a really cool idea to me. The dialogue is, it kind of sucks. But I really want to see a completely silent version of Dunkirk. Because I think it would actually be really good just like seeing everything happen. Because I think you would get most of it by just seeing everything and not hearing anything. Because a lot of the dialogue is really bad. Because it's just Mark Rylance talking about Dunkirk and then Kenneth Branagh saying home every three words. And then the other thing that I was going to recommend with that, is because I read it at the same time that I around that I saw Dunkirk and also has to do with World War II, is that I read a book by Kurt Vonnegut called Mother Night. It is a very, very good book. If you're interested in reading Kurt Vonnegut, maybe you've read Slaughterhouse-Five, but none of his other works, or any of his other more like recognizable ones, Cat's Cradle, Sirens of Titans, and are looking for more of a deep cut that's still really good. Mother Night is probably what I would consider one of his most postmodern works, because it is all written through the perspective and through a character's diary, which is something that he doesn't usually do. He doesn't really write in the first person a lot. He usually writes in the third. And it is very, very interesting. And I'll leave you with this quote from Mother Night, which is that at the introduction, Kurt Vonnegut says that this is the only book that he knows the moral for, and that it is, you are what you pretend to be. And the introduction is very, very good. So I'm going to recommend Dunkirk and Mother Night, two vastly superior texts to Baywatch.
My favorite part of Baywatch was the opening when it said, "Listen, Lieutenant Mitch has come unstuck in time." Well, that should do it for us. Thanks for sticking with us through this grueling slog. We promise it was not as much of a grueling slog as the movie Baywatch. Do not watch it. Watch any of our recommendations, or just spend some time reading a good book like Mother Night. Max, you have any closing words of wisdom?
Yeah, definitely do not see this movie. If you like listening to us talk about bad movies, let us know in the reviews. Give us a rating for the podcast as well, because we're fine with watching more bad movies if people like them. But if no one likes these episodes, we are fine to never watch a bad movie again. And usually after I watch a bad movie, I'm just like, you know, that was pretty bad, but I'm like glad I watched it because I can appreciate a good movie. That is not the case this time.
Yep. I've always thought that the hardest bad movie to get through is a bad comedy, because a bad drama or horror movie is very, very silly and you can laugh at it. But when it's just bad joke after bad joke, it's very hard to sit through. And also, we can keep talking about this movie for one more second. Baywatch is almost 2 hours long. It is like an hour and 55 minutes. That movie should be an hour and 15 minutes tops with the amount of actual meaningful progression of the story that goes on in it. Anyways, we've talked long and hard about Baywatch. This has been another great episode of your favorite podcast, where we talk about an action movie, in this case, a very bad movie. So signing off for Good for an Action Movie, I'm Will Thornton.
And I'm Max Steele, and this has been Bad for an Action Movie.
Bad for a movie. Also, I realize we've never signed off before. Not sure why I did that. But we will catch you. One quick note is that we may or may not be moving to sort of like a 2-week release schedule. I'm starting a new job, so I'm just a little more busy. But sometimes we might be able to slip in an extra episode in there. Who knows? But if you follow this and you're like, where's my episode? We might be releasing every 2 weeks. But we're going to keep them coming at you. Should we reveal our movie next week, Max?
Yes, because it's Deadpool 2.
And we'll go ahead and end the episode there.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.